Welcome to Standard Chartered Money Insights, a podcast series by Standard Chartered Bank that brings you market views and insights on the go.
Welcome to Standard Chartered Money Insights. My name is Marco Iacchini, and I'm a cross-asset strategist from the CIO team. On today's episode of the podcast, we'll discuss the key takeaways from the ECB latest policy meeting and what they mean for our European equities view. Plus, we'll shift our focus on Asia and touch on Japan and Indian equities, as well as Asia high-yield bonds. Joining me today for this conversation, I'm glad to welcome Audrey Goh, Senior Cross-Asset Strategist. Without further ado, let's start today's conversation. Audrey, we just had the ECB policy meeting, and European equities remain a preferred area for our team. What are the key takeaways and implications for the region?
Well, thanks, Marco. The ECB just announced a slowing in their pace of pandemic emergency bond purchases. President Lagarde is keen to stress the move was not tapering, but clearly policymakers are worried about headline inflation running well above its 2% target. And that basically leaves the December ECB meeting live, with key decisions to be made on whether to end pandemic bond purchases by March, but instead boost the long-standing asset purchase program. Now, regardless of that decision, we believe that the ECB will likely maintain its record low rates for longer, given the higher inflation that we are seeing today is primarily due to technical factors such as oil prices, the recent rise in German taxes, and the central bank has also lowered their inflation forecast in 2022 and 2023. The upcoming federal election in Germany on the 26th of September will be a key event to watch, as it has the potential to fundamentally alter the policy-making landscape within Europe. The Socialist Party, SDP in short, is ahead in the opinion polls, and its leader is tipped to replace the Conservative Party's Angela Merkel as the head of the next government in coalition with the Green Party. Such an outcome will clearly be a positive, as it will result in Germany easing its historically austere fiscal stance to fund green infrastructure. It is also likely to have a far-reaching impact on Euro's area's monetary, trade, as well as foreign policies. In our view, this unfolding of a political and policy map within EU would enable Euro equities to outperform global equities and for the Euro to rise against the US dollar in the coming 6 to 12 months.
All right. Thanks, Audrey. Staying on equities, two markets in Asia that have grabbed investors' attentions recently are Japan and India. What can you tell us about these?
Well, Japanese equities hit a new year-to-date high in local currency terms after Prime Minister Suga's decision to pull out from a leadership election for the ruling LDP party. Investors have basically taken this move in a positive light, as the popularity of the Suga's government have plummeted quite recently over their handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. While Japan is likely to return to an era of revolving doors prime minister, we believe that the country will still be able to function well as it had in the past, so long as faction leaders remain consistent. In addition, we also don't believe that the LDP is likely to lose in the upcoming lower house election, even with Suga's gone. Against this backdrop, we are likely to see increased prospect of policy easing together with an ultra-dovish BOJ monetary policies. And these are clearly positive for European for Japanese equities in the near term and could lead to their outperformance in the next coming weeks. But that said, major shift in policies are rather unlikely. Therefore, on a longer-term basis, we still continue to expect Japanese equities to underperform global equities over the next 6 to 12 months in US dollar terms.
Got it. Thanks, Audrey. And what about Indian equities?
Well, Indian equities has been one of the world's best performing major equity market this year, up 27% in US dollar term. And it also continues to remain one of our preferred equity markets within Asia. We are seeing a faster return to economic normalcy in India, higher frequency data such as business confidence, electrical consumption, and even e-bills, for example, all point towards a revival in economic activities. In terms of vaccination, India have also been ramping up vaccination to almost 7 million a day, and more than 50% of its adult population have received at least one dose of the vaccine at the moment. And that's clearly leading to stronger earnings expectation. If we look at the Nifty Index, earnings have grown by about 15% for the year ending March 2021, which is the highest growth in over a decade. And we are continuing to see analysts revising up earnings estimates with consensus expectation at around 34% and 17% for this fiscal year and the next, respectively. So we do believe that the RBI is also likely to maintain an accommodative stance for the remainder of 2021, and that's likely to continue to support inflows from domestic investors, thereby supporting Indian equity market. That's over a 6 to 12 months basis. However, in the short term, given very strong performance that we have seen, we wouldn't be surprised if we could see some near-term volatility pick up on the back of stretched technicals, as well as investors' positioning. However, we would remain biased on dip.
Perfect. Thanks, Audrey. Lastly, on the bond front, Chinese high-yield bonds underperformed over the past week, extending the weak run, which began in July, actually. So what keeps us still bullish on the segment and on Asia high-yield bonds in general?
Well, concerns around Chinese property developer bonds have persisted, given China and Evergrande's debt problem are showing some signs of spilling over to other property developers. But that said, we continue to remain constructive on Asian high-yield bonds. If we were to exclude China, Asian high-yield bonds have in fact been fairly resilient, with non-Chinese high-yield bonds sharply outperforming. Hence, the contagions that we have seen in Chinese bonds appear to be rather contained for now. And as we've highlighted previously as well, current valuations look extremely cheap, therefore offering investors an attractive risk-reward in our view. Although we continue to have concern on specific developers in China, year-to-date, Chinese property sales are in fact running ahead of previous years, which indicate strong underlying property demand. Therefore, we continue to favour Asian high-yield bond as a preferred area within the global bond complex, and we look to the current sell-off as an opportunity to accumulate exposure to this asset class.
Thanks again, Audrey, for joining our conversation today. That is all for this episode of Standard Chartered Money Insights. If you would like to learn more or read our publications, please visit our website at sc.com under Latest Market Insights. As a reminder, if you enjoyed our discussion, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Standard Chartered Money Insights, a podcast series by Standard Chartered Bank. For more details on the latest market insights, subscribe to Standard Chartered Money Insights.